The Tarncast, Tarncast. 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 It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. This is the Tarncast.
Everybody, welcome to the Tarncast. I am your host, Heather Donahue, and I'm here with a very special guest. I feel honored to be interviewing him. His name, I'm sorry, what's your name again?
Todd.
It's not Ton?
No. It's Todd.
Oh.
Todd Robert Anderson.
Robert, okay. T-R-A.
Yeah.
You're T-R-A.
T-R-A.
Tra.
Yeah. Tra.
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 Nice to meet you. Or we've met before.
Sure. I mean, obviously, I didn't make enough of an impression for you to remember my name, but yes, we've met.
Right.
We've worked together, actually.
Yes, we have worked together.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell the audience what we've worked together on?
There is a program.
It's a program.
It's a program.
It's a television. I feel like only old guys say program.
I am, but well, maybe that's true.
You would never hear a young girl be like, I'm going to watch a program tonight.
No, you wouldn't.
No,
you wouldn't. But my grandfather always said program.
Yeah.
And I found it endearing.
Did he say program or program?
No, he said program.
Ah.
He said, I got to watch my program. And his program was Jeopardy.
Oh, I used to watch a program called Wheel of Fortune with my babysitter. She was old.
How old was she?
Well, so she was my grandma's friend. Her name was Irene.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really weird. Now looking back, her and my grandma, I used to come home from school every day, go to my grandma's house.
Sure.
Because my grandma would look after me.
That's nice. It's nice to have a grandma like that.
That was nice. That was very nice. Yeah, and her and Irene would always be ironing in their bras.
Oh.
It was very strange.
It went from
nice
to, like, kind of disturbing?
Maybe. Well, I just thought it was normal. I was like, oh, Grandma and Irene ironing in bras.
I suppose
again.
If you grow up around nudists, you'd think, well, that's normal.
Yeah.
They're just naked.
Well, also, we didn't have air conditioning.
Because
in New York, I grew up in New York, it's expensive to have air conditioning.
Oh, yeah.
So they were hot. So they
No, in the summers in New York, nobody wears clothes.
Brutal.
When I was at NYU.
Yeah.
It was August. It was the first summer I...
When you were new?
New. Yeah, that's how you say it.
Okay.
New. When I was at New, it was the first summer I spent away from home. Like, I stayed in my apartment over the summer.
Were you
no,
crying,
I was
baby?
Like, this is awesome.
Okay.
This
you
is
didn't
awesome.
Get homesick.
No, not at all.
Okay.
And this one night I was walking home from a class that I took.
Okay.
And it was brutal hot.
This is a great story. You should tell it at parties.
No, I do. I do all the time. So I was walking home and I was walking through this like small park. And there was a lady off in the distance walking towards me. And then there was a guy like 20 feet in front of me walking in the same direction I was. But she was walking towards us.
Yeah.
And I looked at her and I was like, oh, that's weird. She's just walking in New York in a bikini. And then I got closer and I realized she's not wearing a bikini.
Wait, so why did you think it was a bikini?
Because it was in the distance and it was in the evening. So I couldn't really see it.
Okay, yeah,
but I was like... Oh, that's crazy to wear a bikini, but she wasn't wearing a bikini. She was stark naked walking through this park. And thank God this guy who was walking 20 feet in front of me was walking 20 feet in front of me because he was also staring at her like,
holy
shit balls.
Yeah.
There was a naked lady. And she like caught eyes with him and was just like, what are you looking at? You never seen a grown woman naked before? It's hot out.
Huh.
It's hot. Why would I wear clothes? She was really pissed.
Did she have a nice body, at least?
Nope.
Oh, no.
No, it wasn't a fantasy. This isn't a fantasy sequence.
Yeah.
This is something...
I think some... You know, no offense to any nudists who are listening. You know, I'm in full support of it. But it seems to me that the ones who are the real nudists don't have the best bodies.
Not all the time. I mean...
Like, if you go to a nudist beach... you think in your head, oh, this is going to be, like, the best fantasy ever. And then you get there, and it's a bunch of old, saggy boobs and balls, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, I mean, I think that's because you reach a certain age. You get past the 40s into the 50s, yeah. And you, at that point, really don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, before that, when your body was good,
yeah.
You were modest, and you were worried about what people thought.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you get to a certain age, and you're like, I don't care, I'm just gonna be naked. I mean, that's the way...
The psychology should be flipped, though, because when you're younger and you have a better-looking body... That's when you should show it off.
Hence the old saying, youth is wasted on the young. There it is.
It is. These youths
need to just get naked and be naked. Yeah.
What they have going for them.
It depends on the kind of nudist place you go to, though.
Yeah.
From what I understand. There's like the nudists and then the sex nudists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the sex nudists... Where they have sex, and then, like, the regular nudists are like, it's not sexual.
We're just naked.
And then the sex nudists are like, yeah, we're naked, and maybe we'll have sex as well.
Yeah.
And I think they tend to be tighter bodied.
Yeah.
Because they're wanting to get laid.
Right. And they're probably more active.
Right.
Because they're having more sex, perhaps.
Right. Maybe. When you have that kind of a lifestyle, you probably work out.
They burn more calories.
Yeah. I hear that's a wives' tale, though, about the sexual calorie burning. I don't think it really...
I mean, if you're having, you know, aerobic sex, like...
what's aerobic?
I mean, if
define
you're,
aerobic sex.
If you're having sex and you're sweating and bouncing up and down, you're burning calories.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
I mean, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's true. It depends if you're a top or a bottom. I think
or
the bottoms don't burn as many calories.
If you're in certain positions that are, like, squat-related,
right.
Could fit in a
or
few
if
squats.
You're having, like weird sex and, like, what are those, you know, circus things that people do workouts on now? They have they hang on the curtains.
Aerial yoga?
Yeah, maybe that's what it's called.
Okay.
Maybe if you have, like, aerial yoga sex.
Oh, wow.
Then you burn some calories.
Yeah, that would be intense.
Because I heard there is, like, erotic yoga. I've heard of that.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard.
In episode 8 of your...
Don't spoil. Oh, my God, it's so hard. Are you having a hard time not spoiling things on You're the Worst?
You mean when I talk to people?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or just, like, on Twitter. Have you ever, like, had thoughts, like, and you almost, like, tweeted, I can't wait to see...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, especially when it's like, tune in to the next episode. I always want to say what they're going to see.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh, no, I don't want anyone to get mad at me. I, like, give something away.
Right,
so
right.
I just say, tune in. I keep it vague. I just keep it vague. I keep my mouth shut.
One thing as a recurring guest star on You're the Worst I'm Impressed By is because you're a series regular on the program. You're in the opening... theme song.
Yeah, I love. It's like one of my favorite parts.
The opening
theme. I love
theme,
that
like
opening
when you guys are all
song.
Standing on the. Where was that?
Now, funny story. Well, it's not funny, but that was never meant to be the opening montage. That was really our camera test for the pilot.
What?
So. When
that
we
was
shot,
your camera
when
test?
When we shot the pilot, and we were all, like, before we shot, and they're in pre-production just getting things ready, Jordan Vogt Roberts, the director of the pilot, called us in one day for a camera test, just to test out how wardrobe looks on camera, makeup, try out different lenses. It was purely for technical purposes, so everything that we shot that's in the opening montage with the theme song was never meant to be anything other than a camera test. And
wow,
so
I didn't know that.
Jordan actually, I think it was his idea. I think he came up with the idea of, oh, wouldn't that be cute if we use this as, like, the opening?
Oh.
So there's something very
sentimental. And Stephen Falk went for that?
Yeah. Stephen was on board. I think there's something, like, kind of sentimental about it because none of us are like trying or we're kind of just being ourselves and just like, you know.
Yeah, it does have sort of a
nostalgic.
Yeah, it has a nostalgic feel. It has a frenzy feel.
Yeah.
It's a little frenzy.
Yeah, like nothing's put on. We're just kind of being ourselves, trying on wardrobe.
And it's an interesting choice for the show.
Yeah.
Because unlike Friends, which was a show about people who were kind of all right.
Yeah.
And liked each other, and they got into hijinks, but they were nice.
Yeah, yeah, they weren't, you know,
you're the worst is about
people.
A bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
But you're all kind of cute and sweet in the opening.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that kind of is it's kind of a good hint at what the underlying quality of the show is.
Yeah.
Because the show, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the show, I think, kind of sneaks up on you.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What I like about it is, like, everybody, maybe not so much your character, because you're kind of, like, I think you're the worst. And you're the worst. Like, your character's
the
worst. You're horrible.
No.
I don't mean horrible. I mean, it's hilarious, but you're really kind of awful. Because you married this guy who you don't love. You don't love.
I definitely would argue Lindsay is the worst.
Yeah.
I would make that argument.
Yeah.
Becca, the woman who plays your wife, Becca. I think she might be the worst. She's like a sociopath. You know, like, she's just like pure evil.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. I was more talking series regulars versus recurring guest stars. But yeah, you're probably right. As far as my character, Dr. Vernon Barber, does not have a lot of good qualities.
I mean, he means well.
Well, he just wants to have a little boy.
He just wants someone to play his Legos with him.
Yeah, exactly. And my Legos are alcoholic.
I think he's lonely.
I think he's lonely.
Friends.
No, he doesn't.
I feel bad. I want to give him a hug and be like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. But I mean, I think the reason he doesn't have friends is because he hasn't let go of his youth.
Yeah, he's obnoxious.
I mean, I think
he probably pushes people away.
Yeah.
And he works a lot, too.
Yeah, sure.
I think he's in the operating room most of the time.
Yeah, doing incompetent operations.
Yeah.
Like, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Anyway, let's stop talking about the show.
Okay. Okay.
So you had questions for me, because you're interviewing me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like the worst host ever.
No. Well, I mean, it's hard not to ask you questions, because you're fascinating.
True.
And you couldn't even remember my name, so.
Stop. Yeah, Ton, right?
Todd is my name.
Oh, Tra.
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 Call me Tra.
Tra, Tra.
Tra. It's fine.
Tra, Tra,
Tra.
Tra. You know, this is exciting for me, because I always kind of had a secret desire to be like a Mario Lopez or like Kelly Ripa.
Oh, yeah? You know, like, I think you'd be a really good talk show host.
I think it would be kind of fun to be a host.
You would be good. You should, though, you should host.
I could never be as attractive as Mario Lopez, though. I think he's probably the most perfect-looking talk show host out there.
I met him once.
I saw him in New York when he was in a Broadway show. I saw him outside signing autographs, and he looks so perfect. He almost looks like a Madame Tussauds wax figure of himself.
But he's animated.
He's too perfect.
That's terrifying.
I don't find it attractive because he's too... Like, I wouldn't want to touch him. I feel like he would break.
Do you have a type?
You know, I don't think I have a type, you know? I've been with such a wide array of guys. I think...
What are you saying? How do you mean? What's like a wide array?
Yeah.
Can I have a number?
Well, actually, in all honesty, I have not had sex with that many people.
Okay.
I think it's, around 10 people.
Really? That's it?
Yeah. I've made out with more people, but I've only had sex with around 10 people.
Define made out.
You know, like kissing, making
out.
But
that's it. No bases. Just, that's first base.
Well,
first base.
Yeah, that's where you can't remember all those scenarios, but actual sex, like penis and vagina, it's around 10.
Okay,
because I was with someone for 8 years.
Do you consider oral sex to be sex or making out?
No. Penis and vagina is sex.
That's it.
Or penis and a butthole.
So, so two of the three, like larger orifices. I'm not talking ears and nose, but those.
Yeah.
Two, like, not anything in the face. The face is not sex.
I don't consider that sex.
Really?
Wait, so if you kissed your wife right now, would you be like, me and my wife just fucked?
No, 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 no. But there's other things you do with your mouth and genitals. It's,
you know, I don't consider that sex. I would just say, oh, I gave someone a blowjob last night.
So you're very Bill Clinton about this whole
thing. Oh, yeah. I'm very by the books, you know? Like,
those are the books now? Since Clinton said that's not sex. Those are the books? Okay. That's fair. So you... that, okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You seem upset about this.
Well, no, I just don't... I don't understand that delineation. I mean, I think... Like... And to say that, like, oral sex... Mm-hmm. Like, I think you can get away with it more as a guy, maybe? Because it's not penetrative if you're a guy.
So you consider oral sex sex?
I think that's sex.
Okay. So
I do.
Prior to you being with your wife, when you were just out and about hooking up with people, if you got a blowjob one night from some random girl...
That would have been great.
Would you be like, oh, we had sex last night?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, I didn't have a lot of... sex.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of... I mean, I'm, you know, I'm a ginger guy, so there's not a lot of...
Yeah.
There's not a lot of sex for ginger
so
guys.
Gingers don't have their options.
There's not a lot of options.
Much.
There's not a lot of options.
Now, do you think that applies to ginger men primarily?
I do.
Okay, because ginger women are hot.
Yeah, ginger women... While they have the stereotype of being crazy, they're desired.
Ginger women.
Yeah, I guess they have the stereotype of being crazy.
Right, because they're fiery and feisty.
Yeah, that's what I learned watching that video that guy put on YouTube that's gotten like 1.5 million hits about like the wife zone. Did you see that video?
Wait, no, I didn't see that.
It's like he has a chart with two axes. And one is... like crazy, 1 to 10 crazy, and then 1 to 10 hot.
Okay.
And then he has a diagonal line in the middle. Mm. This guy's I think the phrase that like most people, progressive people would use is a misogynistic asshole.
Mm.
Okay. But he thinks it's hilarious what he's saying. And,
right.
And if you look at the message board, it's very interesting because like half the people are like, this guy's an asshole. And then the responses to them are, don't you have a sense of humor?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, the guy's like kind of being jokey, but
it's one
of those things.
Right.
But it's like, if you're like, on the crazy meter, you have to be under, I don't know, whatever, like, 6 or something.
Okay.
So it's under 6 crazy and like over 4 hot.
Okay.
And then there's these zones and there's like...
So he's trying to piece together the hot maybe... Is,
this is what you want to do.
Argument, the hotter you are, the crazier you are?
No. It's more just like... It's like if you date this crazy chick who's not that hot, you're wasting...
it's
terrible.
A waste of
so
time.
So she's... Like, if she's not so crazy, but she's not so... hot, that's cool because you can have fun with her. She's not a wife, but she's someone you can throw your bone into.
Exactly.
But like if you get into like super crazy but
she better
like,
be
really
hot,
super hot, then that's also like in the fun
zone.
Yeah,
at least
zone.
You're getting something out of
but
it.
But then if she's like not as crazy but like kind of hot, then you're in wife zone. You know, and then his like big crescendo joke is that if you're dating someone who's like a 9 or a 10 hot and a 1 or a 2 crazy, then you're probably dating a tranny because only men can exist in that
he is
realm.
Misogynist.
Oh, pretty much. And the great thing is he's this stubby, fat, bald guy. No, he's like a stubby, fat, bald loser.
See, you know, if he was married, I might want to hear him out a little more. But, you know, it's kind of like practice what you preach.
Sure.
Right?
I guess. But the guy who wrote the, what's that book? The people like The Game, I think it's called.
I don't know it.
It's like a dating book. It's the one that, like, introduced the phrase negging.
What's negging?
Being negative.
Okay.
When you're flirting with a woman at a bar or a club or whatever. And, like, negging her.
Oh.
So it's sort of akin to pulling her ponytails, but like knocking her down a peg, and then she'll be more attracted and more likely to sleep with you.
I don't agree with that. I mean,
I don't agree with it either. Well, no, it's not that I don't, I think that exists. I mean, I think there are women you can get into bed with if you do that.
Yeah.
'Cause that certainly worked for me for a time in college.
Absolutely. I think when you're in high school and college, you're attracted to people who are maybe rude to you or have that edge. But I think as you get older, you just want a little romance and you want to be taken out and treated properly. If you're a healthy, functional person,
well, you're
one would hope.
I'm not admitting to watching reality television.
But you are.
But I have watched a couple episodes of naked dating.
Oh, I didn't even know this was... You're very into this naked stuff.
Not really.
You had a ton cast
It just keeps coming
nudism.
Out.
Nudism.
That wasn't
We've
me.
We've spent a lot of time talking about nudies.
Well,
you're talking about it right now.
Right, that's true.
You watch
that's
a reality
true. I admitted
show.
To watching naked
this
dating.
This should be a nude cast.
But it's not. It's not. You're embarrassing me. I feel. Why? What are you
Wait,
talking about? This is your podcast.
You're already red, though. I can't tell if you're red because you're blushing, because you're embarrassed, or just because you're a ginger.
I'm a ginger. I'm an embarrassed ginger. So I'm red, and then there's red on top of it. Yeah.
Okay.
But I watched a show.
Okay. What channel is it on?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
It's a friend of mine. I do this other podcast.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like sort of a co-host on the podcast,
mm-hmm.
and it's an advice thing for women. It's like it's like advice for women.
Now, how are you qualified to give advice?
Oh, I'm not.
To women?
I'm not. Oh. I said to the host is my friend, and I said, you know, it'd be funny is to have a dumb guy on the show.
And you're the
because she
one.
Was like she had a lady friend who was always there who was making the jokes, but she wasn't available. And I said, I'll do it.
Okay.
And then the angle would be I'm just a dumb guy.
Okay.
So you can make fun of me for being a dumb guy, and then I can ask dumb questions that might, you know, help people who don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Like Jamie Gertz and Twister, right?
Wait, who?
Isn't that her name? You know, do you see the movie
Isn't
Twister?
Helen Hunt and Twister?
Yeah, but not her. Bill Paxton's estranged wife.
What
I think
happened
is
to Bill Paxton?
He was on that
he
HBO.
He kind of reminds me of Greg Kinnear, right? They're like the same type.
Yeah,
they
I
look
see
like
that.
They have the same
I think
cousins or
Paxton's
something.
Paxton's like the dumber guy.
They're very oatmeal-y looking. You know what I mean? They look like they eat a lot of oatmeal.
It's the right thing to do and the tasty way to do it. I don't know what your problem is. I do not know what your problem is. In any event,
anyway.
I'm on this other... We got off on this tangent. I'm on this dumb...
I'm being a bad host.
Not dumb podcast. I'm on this podcast, and she asked me to watch this dumb show.
Okay, the nude one.
Because maybe we would talk about it.
Got it.
So she had me watch the show, and I've yet to talk about it on the podcast, but I continue to watch it
because
I find it kind of fascinating.
Yeah, what happens? Tell us.
Well, what happens in Naked Dating is it's like all takes place on this awesome island with this awesome like resort, like a private resort on a private island.
Mm-hmm.
Looks very nice.
Okay.
And they bring you out there on the boat.
Okay.
And you get there, and then they
Are you naked in the boat?
No. You don't get naked till you get on the date.
Oh,
like, you hang out, and you get to the island, and then when it's time, you meet your...
Do
you
they
take
blur
your
out
off.
The private part?
Yeah, it's stupid.
Oh, that's silly.
Yeah, it's like, let's see the private parts.
Yes. Yeah, the
last
point.
One I watched, there was this, like,
I'm not watching this.
No, because you want to see the parts.
I want to see some nipples and balls and penises.
Good for you. Good for you.
And butts.
No, well, you see butts.
Buttholes?
Not buttholes.
No buttholes?
There's no buttholes. And they don't show you the sex. They close the doors and they have sex behind the closed doors. But what's in the only thing that ultimately is interesting about that show is the initial meeting of the two people because they're naked and they're thinking about, like, potential hookups and all that. Yeah, yeah. And they're trying to keep eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, on the eyes and don't look down. But some of them make a joke out of it.
Right.
But anyway, I was watching the other night and it was kind of, because there was like a 42-year-old woman on the show. And she really liked this guy who was like, I don't know, 34 or something like that.
Okay.
But it was nice to see like a 42-year-old, because she wasn't about, she's like, he's got a nice body and all that, but I just like him because he's confident, but not cocky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's fun and like
confident
and
then, but not cocky is such a great combo.
Yeah, it is. It like self-effacing on some level, such but a like great not, combo. Yeah. And then it was juxtaposed with like, you know, a younger woman who was like in her early 20s.
Okay.
Who was just about like the hot bods.
Ah.
And the guy that she was interested in, gorgeous body. Yeah. Gorgeous.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Cut. And and dumb. I mean, he was dumb as a post.
Yeah.
He was dumb as a post.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just, you know, reflecting what you were saying about that. Once you get to a certain age.
Absolutely. And your I think values, it's like, your
once
priorities.
You get past 26, once you've like, actually, your brain is fully matured, because I guess your brain doesn't like hit full maturity till 25.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And once you get past that, then you're right. But when you're young, that book, The Game, is great.
Yeah.
Because then negging probably works.
If you're
good looking enough or have
enough
money.
Exactly. It is interesting. So I was in an 8-year relationship.
8 years?
8 years.
From when to when?
I met him when I was 19. I was with him till 28 or 27.
But you're 28 now.
Yeah, I'm 28.
So this is new.
Oh, it was last year we broke up, right before I turned 28. Mm. So I've been single a year now. And I've been talking a lot. I'm curious to interview about this from a male perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been talking to a lot of my girlfriends recently who are single like me.
Mm.
And we're all kind of on the same page here. There's something about our generation of men in their 20s, early 30s. Something has happened to our generation of men. I have been single 1 year. I have been asked out. Guess how many times I've been asked out on a proper date?
How many times?
Once. In a 1 year.
Asked out to what?
Being
like dinner?
Single. A proper date meaning like, would you like
to?
I would like to take you out to dinner. Pay for the dinner. Take you out. Proper date.
Right.
Once.
But that's changed like so much.
And I'm shocked. I'm shocked. I would like to be taken out on more proper dates, but it's not happening. Guys don't buy you drinks anymore. They don't ask you out on proper dates. Do you have a theory for this? Jordan Vogt Roberts, I asked him, his theory was that women reinforce bad behavior for the men, and the men don't feel like they need to work as hard for us. That was his theory. I'd like to hear your take on this.
I don't know about that theory. As much as I respect his work, I'm a big Death Valley fan.
Wait, what's Death
he
Valley?
He directed that.
Oh, should probably do my research. Yeah. I still haven't seen Kings of Summer. I've heard great things about it.
I haven't seen that either. Okay. But I was talking to him about it. I don't want to out the guy. But, you know, Death Valley was a short-lived MTV show.
Okay, okay.
It was a comedy. It was like a parody of Cops, but it had vampires and werewolves and zombies.
Sounds fun.
And it's very funny. It's very funny.
Well, Jordan's a great comedy director.
Yeah.
And drama. I mean, he's a great director all around, but he's very good with comedy.
And super good with ad-libby comedy.
Yeah.
And this show is ad-libby comedy.
Okay.
It's one of the funniest things, I think, it's ever been on TV. You know, it's like Party Down. You know Party Down? Did you ever watch that show?
No.
With Adam Scott? And what's her face? I used to have such a crush on her when I watched that show. Who's on Masters of Sex?
No. Oh, Lizzie Kaplan.
Lizzie Kaplan.
Oh, yeah.
It was her and him were sort of the romantic leads.
Okay.
It was just
this
great ensemble. The first season had Jane Lynch. The second season had Megan Mullally.
Oh, wow.
Because she wound up getting Glee and couldn't do the show. But it had Ken Marino. And just tons of
great
people.
Cast.
Great guests. The thing is so funny. If you've never seen Party Down, you have to watch Party Down.
I have to see it.
It's one of the funniest things TV's ever seen.
Okay.
In any event, what was I talking about?
You were talking. I'm getting your male perspective on what the question is. What has happened to this generation of men? Do you even agree that there's a difference between a previous generation and this generation?
I read an interesting thing. The aggressors currently, like at the high school age, are girls. Girls are the aggressors now with dating, which I find to be very interesting.
Okay. I think, and this is a new thing?
That's new.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. I mean, like, traditionally, it's the guy who asks the girl out.
Yeah, traditionally.
But now most of the people who are doing the asking out are girls.
I recently asked a guy out for the first time, and I gotta say, I had mixed feelings about it. There was one part of me that felt very liberated.
Mm-hmm.
One part of me, which I props to you guys. Asking someone out on a date takes a lot of courage.
It sure does.
I realized how much courage it took. I was petrified to ask this guy out on a date because there was always the possibility of being rejected, that maybe he'd say no or that he wouldn't be interested in me.
Right.
And I would have to face that.
Yeah.
But then the other part of me felt almost resentful that I was asking him out because I wanted him to ask me out.
Of course.
So I had mixed feelings. You know, and still to this day, because I'm currently seeing him, we're consistently dating at the moment, and I'll always wonder in the back of my head, would he have asked me out?
Have you ever just slapped him in the face?
Oh, yeah, every day.
Can you get more aggressive with this thing?
Well, that first night after we went out on the date, and then when the date was over, he was looking at me like almost like I was going to initiate the kiss, and I was like, no, no, no.
No,
you're gonna have to initiate the kiss because I asked you on a date.
Well, I mean, we live.
But he's a gentleman, you know. Now he takes me on dates, and he's
I think that first kiss thing is very difficult in this day and age because to be a male aggressor can get you into trouble.
When you say aggressor,
well, if you're the one who goes in for the kiss,
yeah, you're the aggressor.
Then you're the aggressor. Okay. You're the person who's taking the initiative.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, now we live in a culture where men have become very... I'm not making excuses. I'm just trying to offer a theory.
Yeah.
Men have become kind of paranoid about getting into trouble for being sexually...
Oh, yeah.
Aggressive. Yeah. Or not necessarily aggressive, even, but they're just worried that...
You don't want to be accused of date raping someone.
Right,
or
exactly.
Touching a woman being, she doesn't want to be touched.
And it's terrifying with all the social media now. I went in for the kiss, and then
and
she was weird about it, and then made fun of me on Twitter. And, you don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, next thing you know, you have a sexual harassment lawsuit.
This is what I'm saying. So I think there's, paranoia there. I think... the pervasiveness of pornography has affected.
Oh, yeah. We actually had a very intriguing conversation recently about pornography, and you had a lot of fascinating opinions on it. Do you want to tell the audience? You're specifically talking about how, we're kind of in a. The porn culture is so fast and furious, and it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I definitely feel that's true. I mean,
do you want another beer?
Yeah, I can get another beer. You want another beer?
Can you get us another round?
Yeah, talk to the people
about... And I'll think
about,
of more questions.
Yeah, think and talk to the mic.
Okay.
I'm not editing anything.
So, Tra is getting us some beers right now. And I'm waiting for that. And I'm talking to you. I hope you're enjoying this Toncast. We are enjoying doing it. I'm not sure how I'm doing as a host. I think it's going okay. I think we're starting to have some interesting discussions and raise some good questions. And I'm very excited for you to hear his take on pornography. It was an interesting discussion. We had, I did an episode of his web show, Film Pigs, the other week, and we all went out after for some a bite to eat and some drinks, and we started getting into a talk about pornography and kind of like the pros and the cons, and Todd had some very interesting things to say about it, so I'm excited for you to hear his take. Thank you very much. So, yeah, do you remember what we were talking? We were talking kind of about the pros and cons, and people have so many different opinions on porn.
Where were we having this conversation?
I did an episode of Film Pigs.
Oh, right.
And afterwards, we all grabbed a bite at Corky's, is it called?
Yeah, the Cork. In the back of Corky's.
And, yeah, so we were all just having a discussion about, you know, because people have very extreme reactions to porn. Some people embrace it and think it's healthy. Yeah. Some people are appalled by it. Some people think there needs to be a wider array.
Before we talk about that, I was at the Cork the other night with Skelton.
Okay.
We were there with a comedian named Sarah Benincasa.
Okay.
After a Film Pig show, as we do. And the waitress who you met when you were there.
The one who would be fun in bed or the other one?
The one who would be fun in bed.
Okay.
I think she's a lesbian, but I don't know for sure.
Okay, that explains.
That's what she told my friend who hit on her, that she was a lesbian. That could have been an excuse. I don't know.
It's a good go-to.
Because
you don't offend the guy.
Yeah, sorry.
I like vaginas.
Yeah. Which is fair.
Yeah.
I get that.
It's a great reason not to go.
Any guy hitting on you is going to relate to that problem.
Absolutely.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But she, like, had this, like, very provocative...
Yeah.
Top on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you call it. A blouse. It was like skin tight and then like
cleavage.
It wasn't cleavage, but it was skin tight.
Okay.
And it was like, and there was red underneath black. It was almost like a lingerie look.
Oh, okay.
And
did it look good?
Yeah, she looked great.
Yeah.
But I said,
as great as your wife looks tonight.
No.
Your wife looks hot.
No. No one looks as good as my wife at any point. I'm serious when I'm saying that.
I know you are. I've never met a man more in love with his wife than you. And I have
really?
To say it's very refreshing.
Oh, no.
Refreshing.
My wife. Yeah. She has to tell me to calm down. Calm down. Relax. I'm like, but you're so pretty.
Aww.
But she was wearing that. And I just said, I said that. You know, I said... Yeah, I like your top. And
okay.
Then she walked away, and Skelton, our mutual friend Steve Skelton.
Yeah.
Now,
why did you say I like your top? What was your...
I don't know. I just like
genuinely...
your top. I was just like, that's a cool top.
Right.
You know? I like
just
it.
Just equivalent to you being like, oh, I like that bracelet, or I like that hat.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just like I was brought up to compliment...
Yeah.
Women on
things. Yeah, okay.
You know?
Okay.
I like your lipstick. I like your hair.
Yeah.
I like your shoes.
Yeah.
I haven't
gotten any compliments
today.
I want a compliment.
I like your dress.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Tom.
You're very welcome.
I mean,
mm-hmm. Anyway, he said I was being a creepy old man. And I said, you're probably right, but it was like a genuine compliment.
Right.
I wasn't trying to get...
Well, that's why I asked you, because I know you, and you're not a creepy guy, but if someone doesn't know you, it could come across
But this is what I'm saying.
Perverted.
Like, so he said that's a perverted thing to say, and I was like, but she's wearing a provocative top. So if I say I like it, I mean, and I do like it. For sexual reasons. I mean, there's no getting around that.
Yeah,
I like the way it looks on you.
Okay.
And it does, but I'm not, you know, gonna come running, jump across the bar and try to get in your pants or anything.
Right.
I was just, like, being complimentary. But if you're wearing a top like that, she's doing it because she's working there, granted.
Yeah.
Your tips are probably better if you wear a provocative top.
Yeah.
But, like, I have a relationship with this waitress. She knows I tip well.
Yeah,
I tip well. And, you know, so, like, he said that's, I'm a creepy old man. And I'm like, I'm not arguing that I'm not a creep. I'm probably a creepy old man. Right. I'm a creepy old man. I'm old and still have sexual desires. So I'm a creepy old man.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
But like, he was like saying it like I had insulted her on some level. And
did she seem insulted? What was her reaction?
I don't know, but, like, when someone says something like that to you, my perception the next time I saw her was like, oh, she's looking at me like I'm a creepy old man.
Right.
And then I was like, am I being paranoid? Is this just...
Right.
Like, or, I mean, is that inappropriate? Should I not compliment women who are younger than me?
Well, see, this is the thing. There's so many levels and different lenses. You know, it's like putting on different eyeglasses. There's so many different filters you could look at the situation through. It's subjective.
I suppose, but...
So if Skelton didn't say that to you, if you just simply complimented her...
I wouldn't have thought anything
and she received the compliment and he didn't say anything, we wouldn't even be talking about this.
No, she said thanks and walked away.
Yeah, what's more the issue, or not an issue, but is that Skelton made a comment and that comment had an influence on how you thought about yourself and how you're being perceived.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think it's...
So what you're saying is Skelton is a cunt.
He's the culprit.
He's an asshole.
Well, no, what it really is, I think, is... I think it's admirable quality of yours. You're thinking about this. You don't want to offend anyone. You don't want to come off the wrong way.
It's just like, I don't know. I mean, it's like what you're saying. It's like being the aggressor. I mean, it's like, I can't even compliment somebody without somebody else going, what the fuck are you doing? So, I mean, and I'm not saying there wasn't there was a sexual edge to the compliment, but there was a sexual edge to her outfit. So this gets us to pornography, I think, ultimately.
Okay.
Is the influence of pornography.
Okay.
And people, women, men, I meant both genders, I think, dress in a more provocative manner, perhaps, than in when I grew up.
Okay.
I mean, and I think there was a very provocative manner to the way people dressed when I grew up in the 80s. You know, but you go back to the 50s and there was no provocation whatsoever in the way people dressed.
Well,
right.
Those but, tight little dresses with the sweaters.
All right. You make a good argument. So there's always been provocation. But the you know, the point
is... It's not
as
overt, but it's
well,
certainly...
Well, and I think porn is definitely influenced both men and women, boys and girls, in the way they approach sexuality. And I don't think it's all good. I don't think it's all bad. I mean, I think that, you know, I don't even want to think about this, but like my son's generation, there's going to be a certain sexual progression that's happening with them that will be like an interesting evolutionary thing about our national consciousness about sexuality, because we are such a puritanical society. But I think that porn pervasively currently, because it's internet porn now, we're not talking about porn movies from the 70s or 80s or even 90s. We're talking about internet porn. We're talking about stuff that comes in 30-second chunks. That's how people watch it. And so much of it is aggression. It's like...
Wait, 30-second chunks? I thought porn videos were, you know, many minutes long.
Yeah, you can find all kind of lengths of porn videos. Okay. But what I'm saying to you is that people watch them in 30-second chunks, because that's kind of all it takes.
Really?
I think for a lot of people.
So if a guy is masturbating looking at porn, it only takes 30-second clip to get them off?
I would say most guys come somewhere in between 30 seconds and 4 minutes.
30 seconds? That's
sure.
Nothing.
Well, they've gotten themselves excited and gotten crazy
The anticipation
of trying
looking
to find the right video.
Ah.
You're not
so
aware this is going on?
Interesting. Very interesting.
In any event, so much of the internet pornography is male aggression and domination of women.
Yeah.
The the brutal blowjob.
And the pulling the hair, and the choking.
The pulling the hair, and the ass, and like it's just spanking. All. Yeah, it's very, very deeply, you know, misogynistic.
Yeah.
On a lot of levels. And
which does turn a lot of women on.
It turns a lot of people on.
Yeah.
Like, on both sides.
Yeah.
But I think what has happened is that people are approaching sex in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe... Did you see that movie, Don John?
I did. The Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie. I actually really liked that movie a lot.
I really liked it, too.
And I have a huge crush on Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I had a huge crush on him after the Bike Messenger film. Premium Rush.
I don't know that one.
He rides a bike.
Okay. Yeah, I loved that movie, actually.
I thought it was really smart and really sweet. And really sweet and smart about sex.
Yes.
Like, in particular.
Absolutely.
And
the detachment that we have as a culture from being present with someone in the flesh.
Right.
Because of this porn society.
And Julianne Moore was perfect. Like, the perfect foil to that.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm saying. I mean, I think that... I mean, and it's not just, you know, porn itself, but it's, like, so much of our... Like, if you live in an urban place,
mm-hmm.
you're inundated with pornographic images.
Well, yeah.
Billboards, you know, Michael Bay movies. It doesn't matter. It's all, you know, porny on some level.
Yeah.
It's just, it's they're designed to get a rise out of you, whether to get you to buy something or to, you know, get the Blu-ray of the movie after you watch the Transformers movie so you can see Megan Fox and, like, bending over a motorcycle. I mean, it's pornography. I mean, that is pornography defined. It's, like, something that exists only to get a rise out of its audience.
Right.
That's how it's defined in the dictionary. I mean, pornography is a weird kind of thing anyway when you look at the history of it. But, you know, because it's about upper class trying to keep the lower class from rioting, basically, and they believed in British society, they believed that the lower classes, if they were exposed to too much sexual imagery, would revolt on some level. Really good.
Wait, why would they revolt if they're exposed?
Because they're excited. This is my understanding of the origins of pornography. Like, when pornography came to be was when English archaeologists were uncovering Pompeii.
Mm-hmm.
And in Pompeii, in ancient Pompeii, before the volcano, obviously, they adorned their homes with graphic pictures of sex.
Okay.
That was how you decorated your home. That was the art of Pompeii.
Okay.
And they uncovered this because it was all preserved in volcanic ash and whatever it was, the volcanic science preserved it. So they found all these graphic things and they cut them out and they put them behind locked doors that only the upper crust people of England at the time could see, because they were worried that if they put it in museums and showed it to the lower class, that the lower class would get all excited and start raping everybody.
Interesting. Okay.
It is interesting. And that is when that was considered to be pornography. That was the birth of pornography.
Wow.
And then it evolved from there. And then technology came around, and then you had the naked ladies dancing.
Right.
And they're reel to reel.
I would think the opposite. I would think it would be more like the porn is like the opium of the people. Like, it would distract the lower class.
No, right? They use, they don't want, I think sexuality and sex itself can be illuminating. Personally illuminating and freeing on a lot of levels, and I don't know why you would want that for people who you want to be subservient.
Right.
It's more, they use things like racism and prejudice to keep us battling against each other.
So they can keep
money in their pockets.
Right.
That's a Howard Zinn theory, that's not me.
Okay.
I tend to agree.
Okay, so continue with your porn theory.
So, I think that that has influenced younger generation. Because, like, if you're coming up and you're... Like, I know that I was brought up Catholic.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
So, I never... Like, my dad had a conversation with me about sex, but it was very clinical.
Yeah. I don't even think my parents ever even had a conversation.
My dad took me aside, had the awkward conversation. And, like, in retrospect, I know he was struggling and it was weird because... Yeah. His parents never.
Yeah.
His parents obviously never had any conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like, you know, like it was biology. You sue your penis. You ejaculate, and oh, your baby is born. But you shouldn't do this unless you know, you're in love.
Yeah.
Which well, is that's total.
Nice. That's nice.
Yeah, sure. It's sweet. It's total and utter bullshit, though. I mean, it's not correct.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, like, the like when you're a kid and you haven't done this before.
Yeah.
Like the concept of inserting my penis into the thing. Like that,
even
like,
calling it inserting, you know.
Insertion. It's so, you know, it's like so clinical and so like, yeah, it's just not the, it's not the right
conversation.
Because
sex is a very creative, imaginative experience.
I would tend to agree. Yeah.
I think it's a creative experience.
I mean, unless you're so inundated with modern porn that all you can think of to do is just jam your dick down someone's throat to the point where they barf on your belly.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And that is what porn has become.
Right.
And it's influenced, like, I think, like, on both genders with young people, I think there's probably a lot of boys, young boys who are coming into their sexuality are like, I have to, like, so that's what I have to do?
Well, yeah, the last...
I don't want to do that. I just want to,
you know, a while ago I had sex with this younger, he was
23-year-old.
And, I just remember the way he was having sex was like he was imitating a porn, like what his idea of what would be pleasurable would be, rather than being present with me.
This is what I'm saying.
And I found it endearing because he's younger and I know he's just trying to do his best.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I was like, slow down, buddy. Like, let's relax. And
right, you know,
it takes out the sensuality.
Well, and I think that there's just something, and I think porn kind of propagates this, but I think there's something in a man's psyche that makes him want to prove himself.
Yeah.
So if he's with you and having sex, then he wants to prove that he can get it up, and he can keep it up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then you come, and then he
It becomes such a self-conscious act.
Yeah, and it's
which
not...
is why a lot of men get performance anxiety.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you know? Performance anxiety is a huge thing.
And I think when you, you know, if you've ever been with someone who has performance anxiety, and then all of a sudden they don't have it anymore, I think they don't have it anymore because they're more relaxed and...
Or they took
a
pill.
They feel comfortable. But aside from the pill, if they're not taking a pill, I think it's very mental and emotional for them. They need to feel comfortable and relaxed.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I really don't think sex is any different than any other creative act. When you're acting or singing or dancing or doing anything creative, you need to feel relaxed and not in your head in order to create something new. And I think it's no different with sex. I think when you have sex, it's a very imaginative experience with the person, you know?
Yeah.
And you can't go through that experience if you're, you know, self-conscious.
No, you can't.
It's just
that's a really good point. I think acting and sex are very similar in that way.
So now, spontaneous.
Spontaneous,
you know?
And just not, yeah, if you're not judging yourself, you're more likely to have a good time doing it. So then
what's your opinion? Do you think there needs to be a wider variety of porn? Or do you think people shouldn't watch porn as much and use their imaginations when they masturbate? What do you think is the solution to this problem we're having?
I think a little from column A, a little from column B. I think if you're too reliant on pornography for masturbation, because, I mean, you know, sex is like everything else. If you're not comfortable with yourself,
right,
you're not going to be comfortable with other people. But I think, yeah. I think, yeah, one, like, don't rely on porn too much. And this is, you know,
it's good to use your imagination.
Yeah, use your imagination. Just like a woman, you know, it's mostly men that I'm talking about, but women get addicted to porn too and rely on porn too much too sometimes. But I think women rely too much on vibrators.
Yeah, I was just going to say, sometimes I think I get lazy and I just know I could use my vibrator.
Well, that's the thing. And then sometimes
when I
have
sex,
to,
maybe it's not as exciting because I'm like, oh, if I just have my vibrator.
Yeah, because his penis doesn't vibrate.
Yeah, penises, unfortunately, I wish they vibrated.
Except in Gary Shandling movie.
Pretty incredible.
About Gary Shandling was an alien from another planet. What the hell was the name of that movie?
Oh.
It was an alien from another planet, and it was terrible. And it, as much as I love Gary Shandling, and his penis vibrated.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I wish penises vibrated. That would be incredible.
Well, yeah, too. And guys wish that, you know, every time they had sex, it was a three-way, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, it's, that's not reality. That's fantasy.
Right.
And, you know, and the truth is you have fantasies that you don't want in reality. Everybody does.
Yeah, yeah.
Like weird sexual fantasies that you don't want to manifest in reality.
Well, that's the thing. I remember in college I was in this feminism class, and we covered a lot of porn topics, and a big debate in the class was that porn that is very male-dominant, like when the men are pulling the woman's hair and talking down to her. There were extreme, the debate on one end of the spectrum, a lot of women felt that was a positive thing. And they said, hey, as women in the workplace now, we're so powerful that when we're in bed, we want to be submissive. And that's like a healthy outlet to be submissive by watching those kinds of porns or having sex in that way with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, there were a lot of women who thought that that porn was just contributed to, you know, rape and violence and misogyny. And they didn't agree with it. And they felt that, you know,
yeah,
we shouldn't be turned on by that.
I think it's okay to be turned on by that. I think it's okay. I think there's a difference between kids who are watching porn for sure and adults who are watching porn. I think there's a like adults, you know, you reach a certain maturity.
Well, like we were just talking after 26.
Well, right, and you separate your fantasy life from reality, and you know how to be with a person. And how to connect with a person.
Yeah.
And then once you've connected with them, because I think it's a process. I mean, with any sexual relationship, it's a process.
It's an evolution.
You can't get, like, you have to start in a place of fumbling and awkwardness. And that's kind of hot.
Yeah,
Fumble, awkward sex, like where you're figuring it out.
Yeah, yeah.
You're figuring each other out.
Yeah.
Like, I think about, I have no idea how bad I was in bed when I first met my wife. I was terrible.
Right.
I'm sure. I had it, like, the first night we were together. I mean, we were kind of drunk.
And you're probably petrified.
But I was petrified, and I had performance anxiety, and, like, and, you know, and it worked.
See, that's inspiring. I think that's inspiring to hear. Because I think a lot of women, again, because I have a lot of single female friends, and if they have sex with a guy who has performance anxiety, they take it personally and think it's that the guy isn't attracted to them. And so hearing your perspective, not the case.
That's not true at all.
I mean, there's hope. It could you can start off with a performance anxiety sex, and that's not good. But it could progress and end up being a great intimate relationship with the person.
I agree. And I think a lot of, you know, what's influenced that performance anxiety is if your only sexual experience before an actual sexual experience is pornography, then being in the reality of it is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
It's fucking terrifying.
You're comparing yourself.
You're comparing your penis, which is probably not as big as a porn star's penis.
Right.
And if it is, God bless you. God bless you. How happy are you?
I mean, the men in these porns really are not attractive.
Well, they're not attractive. They're hired because they have big penises. And big penises aren't, like, the norm. There's all kinds of sizes of penises. There's long, skinny, thick penises, and there's fat penises, and there's all kinds of sizes of penises.
Yeah.
So, but if... what the porn influence is, if I don't get it up and it's not huge and I don't pile drive this thing constantly, then I'm a failure.
And
I think that influence in your head when you're in an actual intimate, and it's fucking sad when you think about it, but I think there is a place for porn. I'm not condemning porn on any level, but I think it influences you in certain negative ways when you get with an actual person.
I think it's no different than, for example, when you turn on the TV and watch live action shows, comedies, dramas. It's important to represent many different kinds of groups and people. And oftentimes on television, you see the same type of woman being portrayed in female roles. It's a typically attractive, thin or skinny girl, size 2 or below. Typically, the lead characters are Caucasian. I don't think there's enough...
they're either Caucasian or there's the rare instance where it's like, but it's like this weird segregated thing on TV where it's like either the characters are all Caucasian or they're all black or it's George Lopez.
Yeah.
And his family.
Well, no, I remember I read this article about the casting of, what's that Will Smith movie? Hitch. With Eve, what's her name?
Anything for Hitch. Eve Mendes.
Eve Mendes. Is it Eva or Eve Mendes?
Eva.
I think it's Eva. Yeah. So it was fascinating because when you see that movie, or at least when I saw it, it didn't really occur to me that, oh, he's black and she's Hispanic. Like, yes, you notice it, but you don't really think about it. You just kind of watch the movie and you're into these characters. Right. You're not focused on their, you know, ethnicity.
Right.
And when I read this article, they said when they were casting the female lead, it was a very difficult process because they did not want to hire a Caucasian female lead because then the movie would become about
a white and black interesting.
But they didn't want to cast a black actress because then it would be a quote-unquote black movie.
So they
cast Eva Mendes. You know, obviously they thought she was right for the part, but also...
She's all right looking.
They were like, oh, well, a Hispanic woman with a black guy is quote-unquote normalized. Like,
right.
To the naked eye, that's, we don't think about it. It's like quote unquote normal. But if you see two black people together, it's a black movie. And if it's a white person and a white woman and a black guy, it's, ooh, this is an interracial movie. And then the movie would become more about that.
I'm going to throw this in actual real life situation, but I'm going to ask you a question. Okay. So I've done two commercials, national commercials.
Okay.
Where I've been married in the commercial to somebody who's not white.
Okay.
What race do you guess that was?
Black.
Wrong.
Oh.
What's your second guess?
Hispanic?
No.
Asian?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, which is weird.
Okay.
I don't know why, but it's like, it seems like... In the corporate infrastructure, it's more
so
acceptable
in the commercial,
for a white
your
man,
wife is Asian.
Yeah, a white man to be married to an Asian woman. So I did two of these, which, and like when I did them, I was like, this is awesome. I'm married to, like the other day I auditioned for a commercial where I was getting married to a Latina woman. And I was like, this is great. This is the first fucking time.
Right.
First fucking time. This happened to me. Commercials are weird.
Yeah.
But I had this one where I was married to an Asian, and then I had another a couple years later where I was married to an Asian woman.
Okay.
And in one, the Asian woman was very thin.
Okay.
Like classical Asian girl-looking chick. And then the other one, she was more
voluptuous.
Voluptuous, sure. Okay. Let's say that.
Compare her body to someone. Because voluptuous means different things to different people.
Right.
You know?
I mean, both of these women were gorgeous.
Yeah.
They're on TV. You have to be attractive on some level to be on TV. Unless you're, like, playing the food show.
Right.
But they're, like, in commercials, there's got to be some kind of level of inoffensiveness to your look.
Yeah.
You know, that they can sell their product.
Yeah.
So they were both very attractive, but one was skinny and one was big. Now, one of these commercials didn't air, and one did.
Ah.
So which one do you think?
The tinier girl, she aired.
There you're wrong again.
Oh, wait.
It was the more voluptuous one.
Wait, why?
Because I think that with the skinny Asian girl...
Okay.
And she looked younger than me, probably, at the time.
Oh, it looked too perverted.
It looked probably too creepy.
Yeah.
For commercials.
Yeah.
And then if everybody, like, because America's filled with people who are not skinny.
Yeah.
Like, if she's bigger, then it's all right.
Ah.
Both commercials, I thought, ultimately were funny and would have been good.
Well, see, that's refreshing. Because the point I was making earlier is kind of like the porns and live action movies and shows. I think there's not enough groups being represented.
I agree. But here's the thing that I was thinking about. Because when I went on this commercial the other day, and this is me, you know, in my pothead paranoid conspiracy theory place.
Okay.
But... So I went on this commercial, and I'm in the commercial, I'm getting married, and they paired me up with this ludicrously gorgeous Latina woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was a model.
Okay.
I don't think anyone would believe me being with her outside of television, if you were to look at us.
Right.
It's not saying it doesn't happen, but TV, it's like, especially in 30-second, when you're talking about 30-second commercials, people have to sort of believe it and relate to it within the first second.
Well, I think that's also part of the male fantasy. It's if most of the producers are men, most writers and producers are men, and I think they like creating storylines where not as attractive men get the hot girl because it gives them hope and audience.
Average doughy guy. Well, and it's like the sitcom, the network sitcom trope for the last like 15 years has been big fat guy with hot chick.
And
it's like, come on, you guys.
Yeah.
Like when I go in on auditions for these parts in commercials and I'm with like a like I went on another one where I was... You know, in the room with like a woman who actually I would be married to, but I was having this affair with this model, and I was like unless I'm paying for that, it's it's not like I'm so like I think I could get someone that attractive. I could humor my way into that bedroom, but like in reality,
just don't tell her you like her top.
Right.
Because that doesn't seem to go.
I only say that to lesbians.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I won't tell her I like her top. But that was, like, so innocuous.
It was just like, hey, this is a cool top. Yeah.
It wasn't like, I wasn't.
People need to lighten up.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
I would be flattered if someone said they liked my top.
Sure.
That's why I bought the top and wear it. I would like some compliments.
When I get compliments, I'm so happy. I got so many compliments on Twitter today.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
You're the worst. Yeah. Like, everybody's telling me I'm really funny and I was a good actor on a show. And I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah.
That's great. I'll accept it. I mean, I think so much of... You're the worst is the writing, but you know, I can play it so good. Yeah, I get compliments. Yeah. But anyway, so, you know, and you know, if she was offended by me saying I like her goddamn top.
Yeah. Then don't wear the fucking top.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And also like,
it's a little arrogant Because it's of her, if she does get offended. Because it's like, you're married, you're not trying to sleep with her. For her to think, put that presumption onto you is quite frankly a little arrogant.
Well, one of the fun things about being married...
But we don't know. She could have been... It was really Skelton that put in your head. She could have been flattered.
No, she was probably fine with it. Skelton was probably being
an asshole.
He put
it in your head.
But the truth is, I mean, like, when you're married, one of the fun things you can do is say, hey, you're really pretty. Like I have no...
Ulterior motives.
I have no ulterior motives. I have no...
agenda.
You know, I have no ball in the game. What's the phrase
right,
when you have a
skin in the game.
Skin in the game? That
skin
doesn't sound right.
That's a phrase. Skin
is
in
that
the
a
game.
Phrase?
It is.
Yeah, I have no, like, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you have nothing to gain.
Dogs in this fight. I have no horses in this race. I don't give you... You know, I'm not... Like, I was just like... If I, you know, it's sort of like when you're old and you're married, as I am, you know, I put myself in the shoe. Like when I'm in a bar and I'm drinking with my buddies, I look at women and I go, oh, if I, you know, if I was younger, I'd talk to her, you know? Like, I get that. So, I don't know. I feel like if I was...
Now, what's your take on, because a lot of people have different opinions on this. Do you think it's wrong or insulting to your partner to think of someone else while you're having sex with them?
I don't think it's wrong or insulting. I think it's unavoidable.
Okay.
I think that when you're my wife tells me all the time, you know, when she gets, like when you're, all right, abandoned. Mm-hmm. Like when you're, here we are back. So we talk about sex a lot on your podcast. Is this one of those sex podcasts?
Okay. First of all, you talk a lot about
I talked about nudity that's completely separate from
sex.
Well,
no, this is the theme. I think we have a good theme here today. I think we're having some hard-hitting, mind-stimulating, thought-provoking discussions about sex and porn and perspectives. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there is enough of a... I think when we see sex on television or hear interviews about sex, it's on a superficial surface level.
And we've gone deep.
I think there needs to be more in-depth discussions about sex.
I think you're right. And you're on a show that is
like
a lot of ways
I'm
about
enjoying
sex.
The discussion.
Okay.
Are you?
I am. I just wanted to make sure we weren't, you know, getting...
I think the viewers are, or the listeners, I think they're enjoying it, too.
I hope they are. So what was I saying?
We're talking about thinking about other people when you have
sex. All right. So thinking about other people when you have sex. I think one, it's unavoidable. I think, two, what we were talking about before with sex, being, like, when it's good, is when you're connected.
Yeah.
It's not when you're trying to, like, play the porn fantasy. It's not when you're trying to impress, when you're trying to do this, when you're trying to, like, get to something other than the sex.
Yeah.
Like, when you're just, like, two people and you're connected.
In the moment.
And you're having a good time.
Relaxed.
But, and I think the relaxation, because with sex, it's like, you're having a good time. This isn't about a job.
No.
It's not about proving something. It's just about having fun.
And it's a very generous act. I think also the best sex, you have the best sex when you are genuinely wanting to please your partner.
I agree. I think,
it's
yes.
like charity.
I think you can go too far. I don't know what it's like for women, but I think for men, you can go too far. You can go too far trying to please. You can go too far... like trying to be the Don Juan,
but meaning you get turned on when your partner's turned on.
Oh, for sure.
And you like
there's
not
like if you're connected, there's nothing more of a turn on than your partner getting turned on.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think you can worry too much about that.
I think there's
a certain point. Like it's like a fine balance.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to
like acting.
No, acting is just memorizing your lines and then hitting your marks.
No, if you're in a scene with someone and it's jiving, it's like sex. It's like good sex.
Mm. I agree. I mean...
Because you're not trying to play an idea of a character. You're just in the moment.
I'd rather have sex than act, just for the record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we're comparing.
But no, you're right. Comparing. It is. I mean, I think that. I mean, me as an actor, mm-hmm. I don't know why you got into acting, mm-hmm. but I got into acting because I'm a hedonist, mm-hmm. and I was like, if I can do a job that's mm-hmm. playing,
yeah.
and fun.
I'm a hedonist as well.
But the problem with acting, I think, is a profession.
Define hedonist for the listeners.
A hedonist is somebody who spends their life trying to pleasure themselves.
It's yeah, about they enjoy pleasure. The
their
pleasures.
Life is about pleasure. I would say there's like a version of a hedonist that's more inclusive, and it's like you're not just like your pleasure, you're like everybody's pleasure.
Yeah.
I think the trick about acting is that you do I like I would say that you're the worst when I'm doing that, especially episode 10 for mm-hmm. me, even though I got bruised up. I had bruises everywhere.
Well, we don't
want to
tell. We don't want to give anything away.
I'm not giving anything away, but I got wrecked.
Okay.
You know, I got hurt.
Yeah.
Physically hurt, but it was still a pleasurable experience.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. In episode 5, I got attacked by goats, and I was bruised. But I still had fun.
Right, exactly.
It was fun.
Exactly. So there's a level of hedonism that can come with suffering. So, and also I think, like, if you're a true hedonist, you like everybody around you to yeah. also be having a pleasurable experience.
Yeah.
So you're the worst is fun because it seems like...
We're being hedonists right now. We're enjoying some beers.
We're drinking beers and
we're
talking.
We're enjoying a discussion. Just ate some really good Chinese food.
I hope it was good.
It was incredible. I actually can't stop thinking about it. I want more.
Oh, I'll get you more. Yeah. I'm going to have more when we're done.
Yeah.
Which we should. We should be done soon.
Okay. Okay.
Because, you know, I've got so much stuff.
Yeah. We have to watch Highlander.
Yeah, we got to watch Highlander.
that's very important.
There can be only one. I can't believe you've never seen Highlander.
Yeah.
It's such a stupid movie.
I'm excited.
It's probably the dumbest movie.
Am I going to leave disappointed?
I don't think so. I think you'll like it, but it's like, it's super weird, and none of the choices that the creators of Highlander made make sense to me.
Okay.
For one, you've got Christopher Lambert.
Mm-hmm.
You know who that is?
No.
Why would you? Because you're 28?
I can't tell you my age right now. My age range.
Your age range is sorry,
19.
That was rude of me.
No.
That was rude.
I think I could still play 19 to 30. 19 to 30.
19 to 30? That's a serious... I've never had more than like a 3-4 year range.
Without makeup, I can look very, very, very young.
Botox in my forehead.
Really?
Not for... I have a headache.
Okay.
So they were putting them in these other places, and then the lady who was doing it was like, well, you know, I've been reading, and then the headache thing is like, you really need to put them in here. And I was like, okay. And the other injections, they were doing injections in my like shoulders and in my head and my temples.
Yeah.
You know, and then like right, like in between my eyebrows. And those were, like, actually helping, but she's like, well, my research says that the, like, migraine sufferers, and migraine isn't exactly what I have, but they're, like, if you put them in the forehead.
Yeah.
And so she put it in my, I was like, okay, if you think that'll help, then put it in my forehead. And she put it in my forehead, and now my forehead looks weird, and it hasn't helped at all.
Oh, boy.
Like, I have this, like, I was, the episode of the Film Pigs you were on was, like, right after I did it.
Oh, no.
And then Janet Varney's episode of the Film Pigs, and I'm looking at myself, and I got, like, Michael Keaton eyebrows, because, like, the center of my forehead is completely
Michael
fucking
Keaton
dead,
eyebrows.
And I have, like, wrinkles on the sides, and my eyebrows, it's the worst thing. It's
boy.
The absolute worst thing. I don't know why I got off on that tangent. That was so confessional.
That's okay. We're here to let it out.
Chimay.
We're here to talk about whatever we feel like. Because we're hedonists.
Yes, right. So, hedonism...
And but we were really talking about thinking about other people during sex.
Oh, right.
That was really the
main. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think if you lose yourself.
So if your wife says to you, yeah, just to let you know, I was thinking about Billy when I was fucking you the other night, you would not be offended.
Not,
you wouldn't be hurt. You wouldn't feel like, oh, no, jealous.
No, I think it's great. If I'm having sex with her and she loses herself in me and she goes to another place, I think that's the best. That's the best possible situation.
And do you often think of other women when you have sex with your wife? Or
no, I never do.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
When I fuck my wife, I don't think about anybody else.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I really don't. Yeah. No.
Yeah, there's no need.
No. Because when I lose myself in her, I don't lose myself in fantasy on any level.
Right. You're in the present with her. Yeah.
But she's like, everybody's different. And like, she gets like, into a magical place. And then, like she just lets her imagination take over. So what's ever happening, you know, is...
Right.
Is happening on a level of fantasy that I'm not necessarily a part of, but I don't have any problem with it.
Right.
Because that means that she's ludicrous, so ludicrously comfortable with me.
Right.
And willing to let herself go, and willing to let herself, like... have whatever she wants. And
right.
that's what I want. I don't want her to be like, oh, he's the only guy.
And
right. Because that's not goddamn true. It's just not true.
It's not realistic.
It's not realistic. You want what you want. And your heart and your lust and all those things want what it wants. So
all
I want is for when we're in a sexual, you know, situation where we're doing it,
yeah.
I just want her to be let herself go and like whatever happens. I mean, and she said to me before, I don't know why, you know, I thought that, but I thought that,
yeah,
and I don't want that, but
yeah.
I thought that, and you know, she got lost in that,
yeah,
and that's
yeah.
what I'm saying about fantasy versus reality. It's
yeah.
like, you know, the kissings and the foreplay and the, like, before the kissings, excuse me, a lot of shame, the talkings.
Yeah.
You know, when you connect.
Yeah.
Then you get comfortable with each other. And once you're comfortable with each other, then the kissings can happen. I think people rush the later stuff, maybe.
Yeah, they rush.
So if you're super comfortable, you know, two people super comfortable, then you should absolutely be able to fantasize about whatever you want.
Right.
In your head, like, while
yeah.
it's happening. Because you get lost. I mean, it's like, you know, sex doesn't look like it does in pornography.
Right.
You know, like, one leg up here and the other leg down there and I'm
right.
twisted around and I'm
right,
doing this
right,
crazy
right.
nonsense. That they're doing that for the camera.
Yeah.
But when you're just having sex, and you can
yeah.
have great sex, and it, you know, regardless of position, but let's just say, you know, it's as bland as missionary style.
Yeah, that could still
like just
be as
two
arousing.
Bodies pressed together.
Yeah.
Just feeling each other. If you're
yeah.
really feeling each
yeah,
other.
Yeah.
And then you get lost in each other, and then you get lost in the universe. You get
yeah.
lost in the things outside of yourself. So I
yeah.
think my wife having sex with George Clooney and Ryan Gosling and Jim down the street and whatever, when we're embraced in that situation,
right?
I would never want that to stop, ever.
Right.
Because she
right.
lets go, and then she
right.
has the best possible orgasm she can have.
Right.
Why
right.
wouldn't you want that?
Right. That's, yeah, that's a great point. It's a great point.
I just made a point about orgasms.
It was great.
Yeah.
I think it's a good way to button off the show.
I feel like I've said too much.
No, no, I'm interviewing you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the host, which means I ask you questions.
Yeah.
And so you're...
You led me in
you're
this
just
direction.
Doing your job. You're answering the questions that I've asked.
All right.
I could not ask for anything more as a host. Other than you answering my questions.
That's true. And I have.
You have answered my questions. You've been insightful. It's been a great journey.
I'm glad you had a good journey.
I did. Did you enjoy the interview?
Yeah, I really did.
Okay.
I feel like I'm a better person for it.
Let's sum it up before we finish. What do you feel we learned from this discussion? What do you want viewers to walk away with?
Listeners. I want the listeners to know that your sexuality is good and great and grand, you know, regardless of what it is, and work through it. It's an evolutionary process. I want the listeners to know that I am essentially a good person.
Okay.
Even though maybe I seem like a creepy old man.
No, I think the last statement, you know, you just want your wife to be happy. You're right. A good person right. for that.
But I do compliment waitresses on their tops from time to time.
Yeah, with innocent motives.
Innocence. It was just trying to be complimentary.
You're just being nice.
Just being nice. And Steve Skelton's an asshole. That's another...
We learned that.
That's a point
yeah,
I want.
Yeah, maybe we should disinvite him tonight. I don't think he deserves to watch Highlander comment.
Maybe he can stay and watch Highlander, but I'm not giving him any of my Kragan more. But you can have some if you want.
Yeah.
And then finally, I think people really need to watch You're the Worst.
Oh, yeah. It's on at 10:30 p.m. on Thursdays on FX, right?
Yes. It's a very good show.
It's amazing.
I think, and I don't know for sure because I haven't seen it, but I have this feeling that the season finale, the 10th episode of You're the Worst, is going to be the funniest thing.
It's epic.
I think, one, it's going to be one of the funniest episodes of comedy TV has ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's definitely,
and
without a doubt.
Too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. There's both things.
A lot happens.
But I think definitely the final episode is the funniest thing I've ever done on television.
Oh, it's epic.
It's epic.
See, I have mixed feelings because every week I watch an episode, I'm so excited to watch an episode, but I'm also sad because it's... Each episode is furthering in the direction of it, the season being over, and I don't want the season to end because I'm enjoying watching it so much.
Yeah. I get sad because I'm, you know, I'm like a guest star and I have a scene or two, and I'm like watching the whole thing, and I'm like, I want to be in all of this.
Yeah, I know.
Like, the greed I feel is intense.
Yeah.
Because it's so funny. You're so funny. Desmond's hilarious. Chris and I are hilarious. The whole fucking, like, the cast is hilarious. The writing's hilarious.
Show.
Everything is so goddamn funny.
I know.
It's impossible not to watch it, like, as somebody who's got, like, my foot in the door of it.
Yeah.
And not think, I want to have a spinoff.
Yeah.
Like a Vernon spinoff.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, it's really good.
Well, Vernon and Becca are a huge part of the show. And in season two, I think Vernon and Becca are going to be in it even more.
Well, I want that. I want that. Desperately.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't pay well, so that says a lot.
Really?
That's FX. Really? I'm a guest star.
Yeah.
I mean, it pays all right.
Yeah.
It's money. I'll take money for acting on any level, but...
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a... I'd like to get... I'd like like $1 million.
Yeah.
For every episode.
Oh, so you're not getting a million an episode?
Are you good? Is that what you get?
Well, I can't talk about numbers. I mean, I'm so sorry that you're not getting $1 million.
Yeah, no, when I signed on, I thought that's what it was. It seemed clear to me that I would get $1 million.
Huh. Because Janice is pulling in $1 million an episode.
She gets $1 million an episode?
Yeah, maybe her agency.
No, I know. Everybody's getting more money than me. I was in the honey wagon, and they were in the fancy trailers. And then someone got killed or something, and then I got a fancy trailer for an episode.
Right.
Or maybe they just were sick that day.
Right.
But I stayed in it, and it was nice.
Yeah.
Was very comfortable.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But then my toilet flooded. And like,
Steven did a lot of his rash judgments from the trailer.
Yes, he did. Yeah. His fancy trailer.
Yeah.
Film Pig's rash
judgments.
His
trailer was always right next to mine. And actually, right before episode 6, now I could talk about it because
it
just aired last night.
Yeah.
the scene where I'm having sex with the 19-year-old, I wanted to practice the scene in my trailer just to see how the, you know, because I was wearing a bra, my boobs to pop out.
No,
I was practicing in the mirror.
That's fair.
And so I was bouncing up and down, and Steven asked me, he's like, what the fuck were you doing in your trailer? He's like, the whole trailer was shaking. Because he's right next to me. I was so embarrassed. I was like, well, I was just rehearsing for the next scene. I was like, I was being productive. I was rehearsing. He's like, I think he thought I was, like, literally having sex with someone in my trailer.
That's awesome. And is it, like, he wanted you to be having sex with someone.
I was so embarrassed. Like, that's what he wanted. I was, like, looking in the mirror.
And, like, for you to have a lapel mic on and then to hear somehow broadcast over the whole set, tickle the balls and stroke the shaft. That's a Stallone reference. Do you not know that?
Oh, I mean, I do Stallone impressions.
But do you know the reference?
It
may be an urban myth, it may be real.
Okay.
But he was rumored to have had, like, a chick or a hooker or something in his trailer, but he was still had his mic on. So he was telling her to tickle the balls and stroke the shaft. And then the sound guy happened to put his phones on and heard him doing that clicked a fucking thing and it was playing on the speakers for the set. So everybody heard Stallone going, tickle the balls and stroke the
shaft. That's hilarious.
That's the rumor.
Wow.
Yeah.
He would probably be really good at oral sex because he has all that saliva. You know what I mean? Like, he'd be great at sucking dick. He has so much saliva to offer, you know?
He does.
Because in order to give a good blowjob, you need a lot of saliva.
No, that's huge. That's huge.
Oh, it's a huge part of it.
Can't give a dry blowjob.
Huge part of it. Oh my god.
Yeah, the same thing as giving a head to a woman. I feel.
Oh yeah, you need. Yeah, there's.
You can't. No, you can't give it. You should wrap this thing up.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm the host. So it's my job to wrap it up. So we learn a lot of lessons. I hope you guys feel good. You know, masturbate tonight and use your imagination. All right. Good night.